reminder, there'll be no Bible class starting next Tuesday, and going all the way through until after Memorial Day or Labor Day, whichever day it is. That's all on Tuesday after this. Kids, don't try this at home. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Studies show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. From this evening to the doctrine of adultery, where we'll finish that up shortly here, and then we'll get back to the text, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Alright, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The rebound technique is given to us so that we as believer priests can experientially have fellowship with God. We can be filled with God the Holy Spirit and be in a position, spiritually and otherwise, to understand the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the STA. This very reason alone is the reason why many of the plethora of interpretations exist regardless of the Bible, because people will not isolate the sin nature. They will not put it in this case, so to speak, allow God the Holy Spirit lead them and guide them and direct them to all truth. So that is not the direction we want to go. It is our intent and purpose of this local church to dig into jewels and gold and precious stones that are there for us in regards to Bible doctrine, and to understand these things clearly and accurately so that we can serve God appropriately, correctly, and glorify Him in time as well as eternity. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound. So we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, again, we thank You for Your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name. All right, adultery is a sexual sin. It is one of the three sexual sins. It involves copulation between two individuals. A union occurs. Adultery in that capacity requires that one, if not both, of the individuals are married. This is differentiated from the sexual sin of fornication, which both individuals are otherwise single. And then the other anomaly of sexual deviance, which is abnormal in this regard, is homosexuality. Adultery is frowned upon by God. It is considered to be a grievous sin, as it betrays the trust of two individuals who have otherwise given promise and oath under the divine institution of marriage, as God has so designed it, to be faithful to one another. As we saw under the law, civilly was to be in the category of capital punishment with respect to judgment and retribution for those who otherwise were caught in the act in regards to adultery. And it is a mental attitude sin, and Jesus Christ taught that one is to refrain from engaging in mental attitude sins of this ilk in the Gospels, of committing adultery in one's heart. And we also saw that it is a sin that it naturally would evoke jealousy by the offended party under the law of jealousy, where suspicion arises, whether perceived or real, under the law of jealousy in regards to curbing this activity and maintaining proof with respect to one's fidelity in regards to the marital union. And while adultery is a reason why one can legitimately divorce their spouse, the higher road to take, obviously, especially with spouses who are both positive and you're dealing with an isolated situation, is to forgive and forget and move on and let God continue to try to bless the husband and wife otherwise, and maintain the union as they had so agreed at the marriage ceremony. And adultery is also used metaphorically to describe spiritual infidelity. That infidelity occurs when one allows the STA to solicit the real you, the soul, and to, if you will, copulate with it. And that produces, obviously, sin, and that ultimately, if not dealt with, produces sin unto death. And adultery is also used to describe the reversionism of Israel, both in a real sense, as we saw their involvement, failing to separate from nations around them, pagan nations, and getting involved in all the pagan idolatry, which included phallic acts, etc., as part of their religious worship, as well as indication of their religious, spiritual infidelity in regards to God and His Word in not keeping the law appropriately in this respect. Then our last two points here, Roman numeral 9. While the doctrine is, if you will, brief, it should be a doctrine of the blatantly obvious in regards to believers. But it's surprising in today's society how confused people can be. Roman numeral 9, adultery is the basis for the sin unto death if it's not dealt with, and the loss of SG3, as with any sin, being out of fellowship, etc. Hebrews 13:4. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And again, if not dealt with, ultimate judgment would be sin unto death. Also, Revelation 2:22. Behold, I will cast her, in regards to the church, upon a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her to engage in her spiritual illicit activities into great tribulation, unless they repent or change their mind of her works. And then the loss of SG3, which is, again, an obvious thing that the just believer would recognize, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit? The inheritance here looks at the SG3 package with respect to believers. The kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, etc., as the other vices are also spelled out in that list. And then finally, Roman numeral 10, it is a sign of national decay, and also a sign of internationalism, be it religious and political Babylon. Hosea 4:13. Sacrifices on the tops of mountains and burn incense on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is pleasant. Therefore your daughters play the harlot and your brides commit adultery. A society that allows this vice to run rampant and not deal with it appropriately in this regard is a society that is on the downhill slope in regards to God's judgment upon them. And then the principle of internationalism of the New World Order is brought out through religious and political Babylon in Revelation 17-18, where both, as we not long ago went through Revelation, as both Roman Catholicism and the United States are referred to in regards to being the mother of harlots, prostitutes, etc., in this regards. And verses 3 and 9, verse 18, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion for immorality, looking at the prophetic Babylon scene, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. And then verse 9, and the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensually with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. And both religious and political, prophetic Babylon, the last days, looks to the one world, one religious order, where the foundation is being set by the entities involved here, Roman Catholicism, the United States, for the platform of the Antichrist to appear on the scene and fulfill his agenda in that capacity. All right? Now that's